land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here with us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday, and it is the 26th of April in the year 2005. And I hope you had a nice day today, folks. Alan is with us this evening, Alan Watt. And Alan, please let us remember to give your address and phone number tonight.
Yeah.
Let me start here with our beginning message. This is hanging on the wall in front of me from Ephesians 6:10. This is beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Alan?
Yes?
Well, first of all, thanks for being here tonight.
That's a pleasure.
What we're going to be talking about tonight, folks, last night James South was on, and he talked about Codex Alimentarius. One of the statements that he made was that with the completion, if they are successful, of the free trade area of the Americas, there won't be any congressional hearings, etc., on the U.S. becoming part of harmonizing, if you would, the nutritional and vitamin supplement herbal regulations, because it's all built in to the free trade area of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan tonight is going to share with us, you know, he talked about this last week, or week before, I don't know, but he was telling us that about the meeting that was held in Waco, Texas. And it isn't that you don't believe it's somebody when they tell you, but it's totally different when you hear it with your own ears, the news reports, and what you're going to hear tonight, because Alan had taped them, it's information we're not getting here in the U.S., folks, on this agreement that is happening, and it is just mind-boggling. Alan, what I'd like to do, protocol number 13, I got the book out today because I was looking for a particular thing. Every time you read in the protocols, as many times as I've been through these, you find things that you see happening today.
Yep.
This is at the very beginning. First of all, this is something you've said over and over again. The need for daily bread forces the goyim to keep silence and be our humble servants.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. I equate this, or relate it to the free trade area, etc., what's going on, and the way they distract people so people don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
It says agents taken on to our press from among the goyim will at our orders discuss anything which, excuse me, let me start this over. Agents taken on to our press from among the goyim will, at our orders, discuss anything which it is inconvenient for us to issue directly in official documents, and we, meanwhile, quietly, amid the din of the discussion so raised, shall simply take and carry through such measures as we wish, and then offer them to the public as an accomplished fact. Isn't that amazing, Alan?
Yes.
Just a couple more sentences here. No one will dare to demand the abrogation. No one will dare to demand the abrogation of a matter once it's settled. All the more, so, God, I can't keep this book open, I'm sorry. This book, it wants to keep closing. So as it will represent as an improvement. And immediately the press will then distract the current of thoughts towards new questions. Have we not trained people always to be seeking questions? I'm so sorry. Seeking something new into the discussion of these new dispensers of fortunes who are not able... Oh, God, never mind. Alan?
Yeah?
I'm going to stop here, but I keep missing lines.
Mm-hmm.
Is why I'm screwing up so bad, excuse my language, but isn't that exactly what they're doing today with this free trade area of the Americans?
Yeah, I mean, the free trade area is a done deal. I mean, they go ahead and do it, and they can announce it years later, in fact, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you look at all the laws that have been harmonized over the last 15 years, they're the same laws in every country in the Americas.
And once it's done, as they said, that it won't be abrogated, it's done, it's a done deal, and then they'll just throw something out there to distract people's attention from what they've done.
Yeah.
So,
and it's such an ancient plan, an old plan. I mean, Karl Marx wrote about it, and he talked about it. In fact, he sent a congratulatory letter to Lincoln, congratulating on keeping the Union together, because the plan was for a three-block trading block world, a United Americas, United Europe, and United Pacific Rim countries. And this is in the 1860s.
Yeah, and isn't that relating to the Trilateral Commission?
That's right.
I mean, that's the gang that's been working on that, Alan.
That's right, yeah.
In tandem with the other groups and et cetera, but
They're
the Trilateral Commission. And then it takes us right back to George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So,
once they have it all together, in fact, they're already starting, and I knew that they'd use this excuse. They said, we've got to unite to compete with a unified Europe. You see?
Oh, you know what?
Uh-huh.
Ken called me today.
Uh-huh.
Well, he did happen to tape something, Alan. I don't know if he played it for you, but he did happen to tape. It was off public, National Public Radio, and I made some notes here. They had about a 2 or 3 minute thing on it, but you have to hear what the guy over there in Canada, what's he, Paul Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Just a sec, I'll find it. I got it. Okay, I made the notes on the top of a page of this book because I was reading protocols. Listen to what Paul Martin said about, and I heard three times that was in the ones I think that you were that you're going to be sharing with our listeners tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think they used it also on the one that Ken taped off NPR.
Uh-huh.
It's not the Big Bang. It's not the Big Bang, but it's a step. Listen to what Paul Martin said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's a partnership of security, a partnership of prosperity, a partnership based on human capital.
Uh-huh.
He said that, Alan.
Well, that's true, you see.
I know it is, but he actually said it.
Yeah, but it's true from their point of view. They will prosper at the top, you see. They have the capital, and because it's a unified country with a unified army, they will be secure, all elite, you see.
Yeah, and ABC had about a 9-second segment.
Uh-huh.
And so this is the way the American people heard it, that this agreement that they're coming to has to do with border security, defense, immigration, and trade. Doesn't that sound innocent and innocuous?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
A partnership based on human capital. That's us, Alan.
Oh, we are capital, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, if you're born, Jefferson said it, and he should know since he was a member of Illuminati, but he did say that any generation born in to their time owing money to the banks from a previous generation borrowing are de facto slaves.
Uh-huh.
And so everyone's a slave, you see, because we're all born into a system.
And that's why they're human capital.
That's right.
Because they are the collateral, so to speak, for the debt of the previous generation.
Yeah, it's been like this for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same scam for thousands of years. And you can trace them from 5,000 B.C., taking over the world bit by bit, the same way.
And the need to put bread and butter on the table.
Yeah.
Creates the slave. Are you is there something more that you want to talk about first, or are you ready to share these outrageous newscasts with our listeners?
Okay, well, the first announcement of this was on the 14th of March, and this was by the Council on Foreign Relations that had a meeting in Washington. And it's the first time that the actual organization has come forward publicly to make their ambitions known to the public. I don't think it was broadcast in the U.S.
I doubt it very much. You know what you might want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is just play it for just a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then let us make sure that the volume, the way you did it last night, was perfectly clear.
Yeah. And one of the main speakers was ex-Vice Prime Minister Manley from Canada, and there was another guy next to him, William Weld from Massachusetts.
Weld?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he a governor?
I think he was, yeah.
He was a governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, he was next to Manley on the board. And the wall behind them was just CFR, CFR over and over again. Now, the Council on Foreign Relations is a non-governmental body. It's the American sect of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which was run by and set up by Baron Rothschild and Cecil Rhodes for world government back in the late 1800s. So that's its only function.
Yeah.
So here they are with the little statement on CBC television on the 14th of March.
Okay.
Now hold on a second.
It's a really good feeling to us not getting...
They admit they are removed from power and that their plan, in any event, tends to ignore political reality.
Our self-image is we're truth-tellers, telling the truth to policymakers, and we haven't always dallied to count the potential political cost or difficulty.
Still, it's a great, big, radical plan, and it's getting some attention, at least in Canada. The group of thinkers proposes a North America with unrestricted, streamlined freedom of movement across borders for its residents, integrated trade policy a la European Union, and harmonized visa and certain immigration regulations, merged law enforcement with full sharing of intelligence and information about foreign visitors. NORAD would be expanded beyond missile and air defense to maritime surveillance. And a shared energy strategy, a plank guaranteed to anger Canadian and Mexican nationalists if the other proposals don't. The three countries would jointly plan stewardship of fossil fuel reserves.
Thank you very much.
And, for good measure, John Manley added on full mobility of labor.
Why would we not, in Canada, want to invite the best and brightest who want to come and work in our country and contribute to it? To do so.
The panel acknowledged that public opinion in Canada and Mexico is not overly warm towards the Bush administration. But, said Manley,
it is important that we realize where we are located in the world and where our interests are, and that we need to pursue what I would call an exercise of mature sovereignty.
Off camera, the panel used Starker logic. If there is ever another catastrophic attack here, and if for some reason Canadian or Mexican security is blamed, the border may slam shut and the economic damage would be incalculable. In a scenario like that one, says the panel, better that everyone's already in bed with one another. Neil McDonald, CBC News, Washington.
Okay, did you get that?
Yes, on the next one you could maybe just a very little tiny bit. Turn it up. But, you know, I think when I heard this last night,
mm-hmm.
I asked you to repeat that. Would you tell that very last statement that was made about the borders slamming shut?
We're trying to put the fear into the people that if there's another terrorist attack somewhere in the U.S., that the borders would slam shut all trade would cease.
And so it's better that we're all in bed together in the first place.
Yeah, all one big happy country.
Okay. And tell me what your thoughts are about Manley's phrase here, exercise of mature sovereignty. What the heck does that mean, Alan?
Well, these are the terms they used when they were amalgamating Britain with Europe.
Really?
They never told the public the truth till it was done.
Yeah,
and they used terms like mature sovereignty, closer ties, furthering our progress together, and so on, you know. So that's the deception they use.
What does mature sovereignty mean? Does it mean you got to get over it because there's not going to be any more national sovereignty?
That's it, yeah.
So get over it, gang.
Get over it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So, it's all there. Now, that was held in Washington, and it wasn't shown to the U.S. citizenry. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what it proves is what so many people from other countries have said, that we in America, in the U.S., we Americans in the U.S. are probably more dumbed down and media mind controlled than maybe any country in the world today, Alan.
Well, that's a fact, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing with all the satellite TV and everything, how they can still censor everything.
Yes, it is.
And just by omission, they can change the whole idea of something.
Yeah. Yes. Folks, the reason when Alan shared this with me last night and I asked him to come on this evening, it's as I said in the beginning, it is not that when he said that, I thought he was making something up, but to hear those broadcasts, those announcements with your own ears, and realize here in the U.S., how we are being taken for such a ride. It is, Alan, it's mind-boggling.
Well, the next part is even worse because you've got Paul Martin of Canada, Vicente Fox of Mexico, and President Bush on the 23rd of March signing the integration of the countries, you know, the first part of it, at least publicly.
And okay, never mind. I'll make my comment after.
Yeah, so this clip is was shown on the CBC television, which is the Canadian government-controlled television.
Mm-hmm.
And they do omit a very important part, but you'll pick it up on the city television broadcast that follows it. But this all happened during the Terry Schiavo case.
Well, oh, my.
So they had that on the go, the distraction.
There you go, the distraction.
And they slipped this in, which was the amalgamation of the Americas, publicly stated.
And murdered Terry anyway.
Yeah.
In cold blood, in front of tens of millions of Americans.
Well, they always need a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And they hesitate not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the CBC one on the 23rd of March.
Okay.
With Prime Minister Martin and George Bush and Fox. Okay.
Today about the ordeal. Ashley Smith was grabbed at gunpoint. States and Mexico sign a deal that calls for sweeping coordination of security, economic, and health issues. Unsealed document. Stand there, Mexican counterpart Vicente Fox. The leaders gathered today for a summit at Bush's Texas Ranch. They signed a deal for even closer cooperation. Then they downplayed their differences. They were also careful to portray themselves on friendly terms. But critics point out the three amigos can at times have competing agendas, and that may affect any promises of increased cooperation. The CBC's David Holton reports.
An invitation to the ranch, George Bush's way of showing that his guests are friends, that he holds no grudges over past disagreements. Bush, Paul Martin, and Mexican President Vicente Fox strolled together, lunched together, and appeared to get on well enough for Martin to say he's ready to hold their next summit at his farm in Quebec.
Are you inviting the two presidents to yours?
I certainly would.
Earlier, at a joint news conference in Waco, Bush said the partnership with Canada and Mexico is strong.
There are going to be disagreements and differences, and the fundamental question is, do we have the capacity to continue moving forward with the relationship? And the answer is absolutely.
The proof, Bush said, is the leaders' agreement today to strengthen the North American economy and tighten border security. Among many commitments, the leaders agreed to cut red tape that hurts trade, move people and cargo over their borders more efficiently, and coordinate strategies to deal with terrorism.
What we're really talking about here is not a big bang. We're talking about big progress.
Bush said the agreement won't lead to a European-style union, but should be expanded into a wider partnership with all of Latin America.
I see one based upon free trade that would then entail commitment to markets and democracy, transparency, rule of law.
For his part, Martin was careful to protect his political flanks at home. He complained about hostile U.S. trade actions and said he won't change his mind about staying out of BMD, the U.S. Missile Defense Program.
On BMD, the file is closed. But our cooperation in terms of defense, in terms of our borders, in terms of the defense of our common frontiers is not only very clear, but it is being accentuated.
Later at a news conference, Martin said Canadian independence will in no way be compromised by the new agreement.
None of the three countries wants to surrender sovereignty. What we want to do is to build on our existing strengths.
Martin also dismissed criticism in some Canadian business circles that today's agreement is too timid and won't be carried through. He said the three leaders have agreed to hold these summits more frequently to ensure the commitments are kept and that the new partnership makes a real difference. David Halton, CBC News in Waco, Texas.
Including border security and trade.
I see one based upon free trade.
But what will it mean for this country's sovereignty?
Good evening. It seemed like a big job trying to reshape a continent in one day. But tonight, the leaders of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico claim that's what they've done. Today, at a Texas summit, they signed a deal on continental cooperation that covers a lot, everything from border security to food packaging. 13 subjects in all, noting there will always be differences, but it is the strength altogether that counts. CTV's Washington Bureau Chief Tom Clark is following the story from Waco, Texas tonight. Tom?
Well, Lloyd, you could hardly call them the three amigos. These leaders have had problems with one another, but they knew that to move forward, they'd have to put the past behind them.
Eyeball to eyeball, for the first time since the fallout of Canada's rejection of missile defense, Martin and Bush tried to defuse the controversy.
I'm amazed that we don't have more sharp, whatever you call them, disagreements. Are there differences of opinion? Of course there have. There have been throughout our history, and there will be in the future. On BMD, the file is closed.
One file firmly closed, but another opened, a new North America. Just a few examples. A common policy on border security, creating, in effect, Fortress North America. Common regulations on goods and products. For example, the same rules on what goes into a frozen pizza in all three countries. And even a common policy on how to handle the outbreak of infectious diseases.
How much is this partnership a first step towards continental integration?
What we're really talking about here is not a big bang. We're talking about big progress. What kind of union might there be? I see one based upon free trade that would then entail commitment to markets and democracy, transparency, rule of law.
But the very use of the word union had the Prime Minister on the defensive. Later in the day, he denied that the plan means handing powers to Washington.
All three sovereign nations, and we made it very clear, are very jealous of their sovereignty. But we also recognize that that sovereignty will be much, much stronger if North America is competitive.
A relaxed stroll after lunch at the Bush Ranch hides the fact that these are three leaders in a hurry. The European and Asian economies are quickly closing in on North America. And then there's politics. President Fox is soon to retire. President Bush is in his last term. And Paul Martin faces an uncertain political future, which is why their officials have been given just 3 months to draw up a roadmap.
As he always does when he meets President Bush, Paul Martin brought up the issue of softwood lumber, and as always, there appears to be no solution on the horizon, indicating perhaps that it's a lot easier to talk about visions of the future than it is to deal with the problems of the present. Lloyd?
Thank you, Tom. CTV's Tom Clark, and with me from Waco, Texas tonight, where he's been following events of this day, our Ottawa Bureau Chief, Robert Fife. Bob, let you and I move straight to the big picture. What are the advantages for Canada in all of this?
Lloyd, I think Canadians have to look at what are the disadvantages of not joining a continental economic union. North America is facing stiff competition from the fast-growing economies of China and India, as well as the European Union. If we want to maintain our high standard of living, then we have to form a competitive economic bloc. Do Canadians really care, for example, how much cheese goes into a Canadian frozen pizza? This is about expanding NAFTA, creating prosperity, and making us more competitive.
But you know there are going to be concerns raised about sovereignty. So how do Canadians maintain independence and go ahead with this?
Look, Canada joined NAFTA. Our trade doubled. 87% of our exports went to the United States. Yet we still did not join the war in Iraq. We did not join the U.S. missile defense system. Take the European Union, for example. Great Britain joined the war in Iraq, but France didn't. Yet nobody is suggesting that Great Britain or France have lost their sovereignty.
Well, in any case, the North American leaders seem determined to move quickly. They're asking for responses within 90 days. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
So that's basically it.
Alan.
How are you doing?
Alan?
You getting it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We lost, at least I did, quite a bit of volume. It got much lower.
It did, eh?
When they started talking about Bush, you know, this is his last term.
Yeah.
Fox is retiring. Martin's future is uncertain, so they have just 3 months.
Yeah.
To get this deal done.
They have 9 more meetings to sign further integration.
Mm-hmm. The thought that occurs to me when they were talking about these three leaders, think about, of course we know that they're all puppets, but think about the fact that millions, hundreds of millions of people can be affected by what these three leaders, quote, decide, Alan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's... You didn't,
the whole future.
You didn't turn down your volume, huh?
No.
Okay, well, it maybe for our listeners, and I hope it didn't. There's a couple of notes I took.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're talking about, you know, this becoming a new North America. Okay, we're at the half-hour break time, so I'll hold this for afterwards.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to remind you that the broadcast you're listening to, Sweet Liberty, is brought to you by you, our listeners. And I know that things, finances are tough for everybody. But for whatever reason, the sponsorship seems to have slowed down. And if it does, it means that the broadcast can't continue. And I think the times right now are so critical that it would be a shame if we had to do that. So I hope you'll take my address down. And, well, it's up to you, folks. It really, truly is up to you. We'll be back in just a minute. Get your pen in hand, please.
You're listening to the First Amendment Radio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at First Amendment Radio.com.
roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
Okay. I'm going to give you my address once again, folks. You know what I was thinking about, Alan?
Yeah?
During that 60-second break.
Uh-huh.
We do 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
And there are broadcasters who are on for 2, 3, 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have funding from some wealthy patron.
Yep. CIA.
Or the CIA. It's our listeners who have kept this broadcast going. Actually, in June, it'll be 7 full years. And I'm not really sure why, because I know that our reception is better than it had been. But the sponsorship donations have slowed down. And, boy, I'll tell you, it takes a blink of the eye for that bill, that airtime bill, to just go out of sight at $140 an hour. And, folks, maybe you would like to consider, when you're listening to broadcasts, shortwave broadcasts that has the funding to spend that kind of money, because even 3 hours a week, our airtime bill, it averages, well, whatever, $140 an hour, you can figure it out, 16 to 4, whatever, it's less than it was. But it's still, we aren't gaining ground. And you might want to consider, what kind of information are you getting and why are some of these broadcasters able to have the funding to, I can't even imagine the astronomical cost, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's in the thousands and thousands of dollars a month. So anyway, think about it, and think about the quality of information that you get, that you want to have, and then search your own heart to see if you would like to become part of this and to help keep it going. It is up to you. Alan and I are in touch off air as well as on air. And so the broadcast continues only for you. Only for you, ladies and gentlemen. My address is P.O. Box 190. Of course, it's Jackie Petrou. 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. And while we're at this, let me give you Alan's address. He, as many of you have already ordered and read the books that he's put together, and I've not talked to anybody that has ordered them and read them that has not benefited tremendously. I'm not going to say enjoyed. This is not enjoyable what we're doing. It is not enjoyable what we're talking about. But what it is, folks, is truth. And it's lifting a black veil of lies that we were born into and that we've lived with for our entire lives, that you are privileged to be able to have this information. He has two right now available. He's working on a third. They're $25 each. and that includes the postage. And you have to address it properly, and you have to have your full your return address properly, or it won't get delivered. And when you send your money, now you can get both of them. If you're only going to get one, get the first one first, and make sure that he cannot take a personal check, and he cannot cash a U.S. postal money order. So it has to be cash, FRNs, you might call them slave credits, whatever, or a U.S. postal money order. You can get that right at your post.
International.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. What did I say, Alan?
Yeah, U.S. postal.
Oh, hell. Excuse
me. Yeah, U.S. Post, international postal order. From the post
office. Okay. Anyway, an international postal money order. You can get it at your post office. And you know what? I'm tired tonight, Alan.
It's the weather.
No, it isn't.
It's spraying. The fleet on extra Valium tonight.
Well, no, you know what I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
This is way off target, but or our point, but I had Mariah at the vet today, and she is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple of weeks, he said, if I can keep her from away from that wound, she's going to be completely healed. And I feel such a relief.
Yeah.
That it's like... it's like maybe all the tension these past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Anyway, folks, an international money order that you can get at your post office or cash. And you would send it to Alan Watt, A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T, at Site 41. That's S-I-T-E 41. That is Box 4, and that is Astaire, Ontario, E, S as in Sam, T as in Thomas, A-I-R-E, Ontario, and the postal code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1. That is so confusing. P3E4N1, and then put Canada under it. And remember to put your full return address, name and address. I'll do it one more time. Site 41, Box 4, Astaire, Ontario, P3E4N1, Canada. It's $25 each book. And there are two of them, of course. It includes your postage. Alan's phone number, if you would like to have conversation with him, is 705-596-0416. And he'll be glad to talk with you. I don't think he's interested in somebody calling to educate him. But if you have questions and you would like to have conversation with Alan, he's very gracious in taking your calls and spending time with you on the phone. And I don't know how, Alan, you get anything done in the day.
Yeah, well, it's all we can really put. See, we have to put everything into it now because we're coming to the brink, I think, shortly.
We're coming to the brink, you think?
I think so.
We are at the brink, aren't we?
Yeah, like I can see inside the teacup. Yeah.
You can? Can you?
Yeah.
Well, that isn't funny, but... okay. There were a couple of things. Oh, Titan. Okay, let's go back to those announcements. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they said that they're creating a new North America.
Yep.
This is, of course, for defense, mutual defense, economy, and the free flow of trade.
And labor. Yeah.
And labor. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
The best of the best. I wonder who that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Titan border security. Now, what does that mean? You know, when they say this, it makes it sound like you can just drive, you know, from Canada through the U.S. down to Mexico, and it's just all one big happy family. I don't think it's going to be that way, do you?
Well, it will be eventually. They're doing it exactly. See, this is exact CFR strategy, or Royal Institute of International Affairs strategy, who set up the European Union And once the announcement is made of the integration, and that was the announcement, by the way, on the 23rd of March.
And they signed the deal, it says.
Yes, and within 4 years, they take 4 years and then they dismantle the borders completely.
Oh.
That's what they did in Europe, you see.
Okay.
And even with the countries that are still joining Europe, that's exactly what they do.
Because, you know, Jeff was telling me about a friend of his. They're a band, and they were in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they were strip searched.
Yeah.
Alan. And literally, I mean the full gamut of strips, like bend over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to get back home.
Yeah.
And
Austin Gav give the guards a thrill.
He, I know, isn't that sick? He asked his friend, I mean, he said, didn't you even resist or put up? He said, no, I wanted to get home.
Yeah.
And he said, we figured if we gave them any trouble, it could be a long time before we could get home.
Yeah. Oh, it would have been, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so...
But I get people visiting me without any problems.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So what they do, and they'll pick certain people, bands will always be stopped. Yeah.
Really?
For the usual reasons.
Uh-huh.
You know, but people drive through. But what they do in Europe, you see what they're doing is issuing a universal ID card. So
oh.
They're going to hype up the terrorism thing to get every citizen with a common North American... Well, actually, it's an American. The America's actually ID card.
Of course.
You can travel from Alaska to Venezuela with it. And once everyone's got it, then they'll dismantle the borders completely within 4 years.
Is there a coded meaning to the word America? Oh, hold on just a sec, caller. Well, we'll take the call.
Jackie.
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't get Alan's phone number. Could I have it again, please?
Sure you can. Who is this?
This is Robert, Tennessee.
Hello, Robert.
How you doing?
It's good to hear from you. His phone number is 705-596-0416, Robert.
695.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it isn't, Alan.
Is it? It's, yeah. 705-695.
Oh, it is. It is. It's 695.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Alan, you didn't even hear me do that wrong.
No.
Okay, well, it's the same numbers as my sis's, and I do it backwards all the time.
Uh-huh.
Robert, let me do this again. Folks, race it. It's 705-695-0416. Got it, Robert?
705 area code?
Yeah, honey, 69. And Robert? Check and see what your long-distance rates are to Canada.
Okay.
If they're too high, get a calling card.
Okay, I sure will.
Because, boy, I had a real high phone bill one time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, outrageous.
I see.
Okay. And you have his address?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
705.
Okay.
695-0416.
You've got it, yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. And I'm glad you did. And I apologize for my dyslexia.
Yeah. Well, we all get that.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Alan, too.
Thank you, Alan, too.
No.
Yes. He said thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, God, I do need a night's sleep, don't I?
There's another question, too, I was going to answer tonight, and that was...
Oh, thank you.
Someone asked me... why the Pope kissed the ground.
Yes, thank
you. Of course, I made a joke, and then we ended the show. But but anyway, the real reason is that the Pope represents the sun. That's why he's dressed in white. And, of course, he's kissing Mother Earth, the unification of sun and earth. That's what that means.
The sun,
for the esoteric.
The sun kissing the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, folks, we've got about 12 or 13 minutes left. If any of you would like to call in, you're welcome to. It's 570-537-3025. Fortress North America, they called it, Alan.
Yeah, and they also called it restructuring the continent.
Oh, in a day.
Mm-hmm.
A reshape.
Well, they're geniuses, these three guys.
Uh-huh. Yep. They
all by themselves.
Yep. Well, that's like George Bush.
Yeah.
The day on September 11th, Well, they had him flying around, allegedly, in Air Force One.
Uh-huh.
And by the time he landed, he had the plans. He had the whole war planned out. He had the Homeland Security Department figured out.
Yep.
Everything within 3 hours
uh-huh.
after flying around in the
That's
sky.
That's because you had the New American Century script that was published in 98.
Thank you. New American Century. That's what I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, it was first published in 92, then rewritten and upgraded and then republished in 98.
Yep, and it totally restructured this entire government.
Yes, and the Middle East, which... they had all the targets in row, starting with Afghanistan,
and then
Iraq, then Iran, and then Syria.
And Libya.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take Libya on, too.
They have to take all the Arab countries.
Yeah.
Or Muslims.
To make the Middle East safe for Israel.
And democracy.
And democracy, yes. Hi there, you're on the air.
Jackie, how are you and Alan doing this evening?
Ken?
Jackie?
Yes, who is it?
This is Ron from Johnstown.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Very fine. Go ahead, dear.
Something very quickly, although this may be old hat to Alan, he may know this very, very recently, or he knows the idea what's going on. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning on the telephone, and he very recently, within the last week or two, had sent a book to, I believe, a lady in Canada. It was Eustace Mullins' book, Murder by Injection. And it's quite available here.
Sure.
The Canadians confiscated it at the border and probably burned it.
Oh, wow.
Now, I believe he communicated with her by computer and found out that's what happened. So book burning and censorship and confiscation is quite alive and well, I guess, to our brothers up north. You aware of this, Alan?
I know that some books certainly can't get through, yeah. That's true.
Hello?
Yeah, you can't hear Alan.
Oh, okay.
Because of our situation here. But what he said is that he is aware that some books have not gotten through.
Yeah, now, I don't know if that's going to affect anything coming from Canada to here.
I bet it will.
People should be prepared for this sort of thing happening on the border. I think they're going to accelerate it, too. So anybody that's going to send anything up there of good educational value,
get
like
it.
This book and many others, may be prepared for, if not reaching, where it's supposed to get.
Yes, and you know, there is a form now that you have to fill out and say what's in what you're sending.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot to tell our listeners that. Gee.
Have you read Murder by Injection by any chance?
Yes, I do. I have. Have you, Alan?
I've seen portions of it.
Yeah, he's seen portions of it, Ron.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing really harmful or adverse about that book. It's
no, but...
research book.
That, exactly,
really.
But it's information.
Correct.
That they don't want people to have.
Okay, I just wanted to let you guys know that that sort of thing is going on, and I look for it to increase, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Alan agrees.
Yeah,
well, you'll find
it. Take care,
okay,
Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye, hon. Wait just a sec. Let him get back listening, Alan.
Yeah.
To your comment.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably okay now, hon.
Yeah. I was going to say that if you put on the package evangelical tapes by Billy Graham, they always get through. Doesn't matter what.
Okay, now you know what? You just blew it, Alan.
Oh, no, they can't do that, you see. He's a very high Mason. They wouldn't interfere.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
Now that you said it, they're going to check everything that says.
No, they get bored stiff looking at these things.
Okay.
So they don't want to even touch them.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelical material.
That's right.
Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they can't be bothered watching that.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, Jackie. This is Andrew from Buffalo. How are you doing?
Hi, Andrew.
I have a question for Alan.
Sure.
I heard a while ago that the officer Jack McGlam and also Joyce O'Reilly from the Power Hour, that they're kind of phonies. I was wondering if Alan or you could inform the audience here about other people in the so-called Patriot Movement who are funded by... CIA or whatever.
Okay. You have to hang up to hear the Alan's response, honey.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. One thing I have to say here, Alan.
Yeah?
We cannot mention the second party that he mentioned.
Yeah.
because she broadcasts on the same network,
mm-hmm.
and I have been given very strict orders that I cannot say anything,
censorship.
Whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can say this. I can verify, and you can verify it for yourself, folks. Jack McLam, yes, is a phony.
Yeah.
When he was in Illinois at the Shirley Allen, Shirley Allen was a lady who was under siege because there was oil on her property they wanted. We found this out later. Jack McLam went to the rally for Shirley, and he made the statement that if he had been, he was lauding and praising the Illinois State Police SWAT team. And Jack McLam said, and it's on video, that if he had been the officer in charge, there were, I don't know if he said a couple or several occasions, he would have given orders to open fire on this woman. She had done nothing, folks. Jack McLam is a phony. I will and the other one I cannot comment on,
yeah.
And Alan cannot comment either, or we will be taken off the air.
Yeah, what I can say is that McLam is a Mason, of course.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Oh, everybody's called brother, and he doesn't mean Christian. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, you have your fraternity of policemen, who, and most policemen, they're told to join the Freemasons.
Oh, it's in the protocols.
And so, yeah, he's playing the game. And, of course, let's be honest, in history, police have never, ever turned against an invading army. They go along with the invaders, and when they're told to get back to work, they do it and serve their new masters.
Jack McLam has said publicly that they have thousands of names in their files for police, law enforcement, military, former military,
mm-hmm.
who have promised that they would never turn their guns against their fellow Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be exactly the place where they would go to get the files of these people,
yeah.
To do away with them or eliminate them somehow so that they could not be a threat.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is in the Toronto Star a few years ago, there was a blurb on the history of shortwave radio in the U.S. And it went through the history. They started it up in the 1950s. The CIA backed it, financed it, under the guise of Christian fronts to fight communism. And, of course, they never let go of the shortwave radio, really.
Yes.
Because all media is meant to control your mind and shape your opinions of the world,
yes.
And the all-seeing eye doesn't miss a hole anywhere. You know?
Last year, around Easter time,
mm-hmm.
we did four nights here, exposing, if you would, the sham,
uh-huh.
and the fraud,
yeah.
of Passover and Purim and etc.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a minister who broadcasts, and he did not say my name, and I will not say a name, but what he said is that there are broadcasters who are trying to discredit the Passover,
uh-huh.
and they are nothing but slithering snakes.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I think that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will say this to you. You can go into sweetliberty.org, and the book Jewish Persecution is online, free, and you will, if you go into section 8 of that book, then I don't think you'll have a question about the fraud. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. This is Kate of Linwood.
Hi, dear.
How are you doing? I wanted to thank Alan for answering that question about the Pope kissing the ground. I just wonder what the significance of the sun kissing the earth really meant. And also, I wanted to make a remark of, as you know, I've been in this little movement myself for 15 years, spent lots of money, and met lots of people that are phonies.
I would like to say this. I have had the privilege of having Kate as a house guest, and she is one of the loveliest ladies that you would want to meet, ladies and gentlemen, and for real. I wanted to say that, Kate.
I appreciate it.
I so enjoyed your visit, honey.
Well, you have a beautiful home, and it was really heaven. But what I'm concerned about is, are you realized about the World Council for Policy, who's really in it? I know you can't say the names, but people would be very surprised.
Well, you could say them.
Larry Platt.
Oh, sure, we can say that name, I think.
Oh, can you? Monteith.
Stan Monteith.
Yes, and his wife. They belong to a very, some kind of an order that, I don't want to say it until I can read it off.
Okay.
I'm just taking it off from the top of my head.
Okay, well, maybe you could get in touch with me, too.
I will, and I'll read you. I'm moving up to the hills, so I got to get out of New Jersey. It is so invaded with foreigners, and I'm
aliens.
Very upset about it.
And aliens.
Pardon me?
And aliens.
Well, Indians, Mexicans, you name it. And I will call. Do you have the same number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have a whole list, and Alan Keyes,
Okay.
Part of it.
And what is the name of this?
It's called World Council for Policy.
World.
Joseph Ferrara.
Ferrara.
I had also told you, I think, long ago that Ted Anderson, who's a Zionist on the Genesis, groomed Alex Jones. And you know, Jeff, the poor guy, exposed all these preachers. And guess what? People still call. People still support him.
Yes.
And you're bringing, and Alan, very important information to try and save this world. It's sad. And they made Mexico, Canada, the United States, one world together, you know, the corridor. That's what they want, to
yes.
be blended in. Is
Kate,
that not correct?
Yes, honey. And, Kate, we're out of time here.
Oh, okay.
Alan will be back tonight, won't you?
Okay.
Tomorrow. Alan, will you?
Sure, okay.
He'll be back tomorrow night, Kate. Thank you, honey. Oh, she's gone. Folks, we are out of our hour. And thank you for being with us tonight. Do remember, the broadcast is yours, and it is sponsored by you, and it's up to you. I do not have the personal funds, and as I said, I'm not funded by the CIA or a wealthy patron, so it's all up to you, folks, if you would like to keep this broadcast on the air. Alan, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, it always is a pleasure. Good night. Good night, folks.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Discover the most important health discovery in 40 years, the goji berry. The world's number one nutritionist, Dr. Earl Mandel, has discovered through his research one of the most powerful anti-aging foods ever discovered.